Blog Talk Radio.
And we want to thank Ambassador Julie Hagan for leading the way on last night. It was incredible. God bless you. Felt the anointing. Oh, my God. A high level of the anointing on the blog line last night. I invite all of you to join. Join us on the blog line each night. Yeah, my God. It works. Thanking God. 1,000 times works. Amen. God is pleased. And it's just such a, it helps you to focus on the spiritual rather than the natural. It helps you to usher in the presence of the Lord. It positions you to receive a miracle from God. And it encourages others around your area and around the nation to thank Him 1,000 times a day. Glory, glory, glory. Just talking about it, I feel the anointing. God bless all of you on the line. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, the world's Heavenly Father, who would accept Him as their Father. You're the best Father anybody could ever want. When we're lonely, you're always there. When we're in trouble, you are a troubleshooter. When we're down, you pick us up. When we're out, you bring us in. You're there, Lord, when we don't even think that you're there. You're there, seeing about your children. I want to appreciate you and thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing, and for what you're going to do. You are the best Father anybody could ever, 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 ever want to have. And I thank you for allowing the people on this line to be your children and children all around the world. Thank you, Lord. And we just ask that you bless the prayer line. Oh, every person on it. Bless. Bless everything about them, God. The enemy is trying to curse. But God, thank you, because you say whatever we loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. We loose blessings upon the people that bless everything about them. Now, we look to you, Lord. We thank you for all things. Let every participant on the prayer line be blessed. Bless their homes and bless their families. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Oh, look on those who are sick. Heal their bodies. Those who are in trouble. Deliver them. God, we just stand for thee. Those in prison, help them, Lord. Take them through the storm and through the rain. Thank you for the prayer line every day. That's blessing people all over the world. Bless those who are coming to us by means of the blog and our boundless blessings. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And thank you for it. Amen. Now, we must have some new people on the line. Let me give you some instructions. Don't move around on the phone like that. Mute your phone. Press mute on your phone. And we'll be grateful to you, and you won't get in trouble with God. Because the prophecy has gone out, and God will chastise those who don't give Him the reverence and respect. I don't want you to be chastised. So please press mute on your phone so God won't have to chastise you. All right? God bless all of you, and we love you, and thank God. Let's speak to the Lord, everybody who has a voice. If you can talk, you ought to know to speak to God, because He is real, and when He comes in the room, you don't want Him to feel like you ignored Him. And let's speak to God. Good morning, Lord. Good morning. Good morning, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody. Good morning, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Lord. Good morning. Thank you, Lord. And let's speak. Let's speak right. Let's thank Him. Let's go in our praise. Praise check, everybody. That means you open your mouth and praise Him from all over the country. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Cause any distractions, but just speak over it. We'll we're attentive to hear what you have to say. And I'm here with my mother at the hospital, and she's doing well. Before you begin today, may see if she can greet you. She'll greet you later. Oh no, here she is. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning to each of you. This is Mother Johnson from Kansas City. I am so happy and glad to be a part of this prayer line. I want to first give honor to God and to our leader, Dr. Johnson, and to his companion and all the people in the world. I just magnify the Lord today for Jesus and for his cleansing that's in my soul right now. I'm still in the hospital, but I'm doing very well. The Lord has blessed me. I get better every day. So the Lord is still with me. And I feel your prayers coming my way. And I thank God for each of you. Just keep praying for Mother Johnson. I'll be back with you, and I'm already with you. So God bless you. Keep me in your prayers. I love every one of you. God bless you.
Thank you, Mother Johnson. Ambassador Lady Betty, are you there? Are you able to greet us this morning? If so, we will pause. And if you're there, able to greet us, good morning to you.
Good morning to everyone. God bless everyone. It's a pleasure to be on the prayer line this morning. It's also a pleasure just to hear Mother Johnson speak this morning. So I want you all to keep praying for me and keep praying for Mother Johnson, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Lady Betty, First Lady of this Amazing Grace. I just want to commend her for yesterday. It snowed here a little bit. Amen. And when most people were in, thank God she got out and said, I got to go to the hospital and see Mother Edna Johnson. Amen. Touch my heart. Amen. And touch Mother Johnson's heart, too. She called and said, tell her don't come. She was already there downstairs. So that's the kind of First Lady I have on this line. I want to thank God for her. All right, Ambassador-elect Gail, Prophetess Gail Stitt, let me pray just before you begin, and you may just go straight in. My God, Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, precious lady, Ambassador-elect Gail Stitt. Bless her, Lord, as she speaks this morning. Bless the people all over the world. In Africa, Asia, India, Afghanistan, and Iraq, Iran, in the Jordan, on the Gaza Strip, and all over where we see that people are praising God, in Russia, and in India, and Brazil, and the Philippines. Oh, my God, everywhere. Now, bless her as she speaks to this audience of over 90 million people. And we just thank you for sending her to be such a great blessing to the people. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people not be the same way they come. Bless them and thank God. Amen. God bless you. The line is open to you. Ambassador Lynn, Prophet Gilstead from Arkansas.
Praise God, Chief Ambassador, and to all of the saints of God all over the land, I shall say God's people. Those that are called out, the ecclesial of God. Amen. I just want you to get your pen and your paper, and I'm asking God not to get so hyped this morning. Glory to God. I just want to give you a few words to feast on, and on your own time, research and study these words. I'm going to go back to Mark, and actually Mark the 9th chapter. I think it is Mark the 9th chapter, 14 through the 29th verse. And I'm just going to give you an overview and a synopsis, but just to share and to recap something, someone left me a message and a text on yesterday, asked me if I once again will cover the word oppression, because, and understand what they meant, because I will say this, oppression is something that will oppress your spirit until it gets you to the point where you will actually want to give up and let go. Simple example is sometimes our children will wear us out with a question. Just keep asking a question till you give in and say yes. oppression and anything that will break your spirit. If you're in a relationship and someone is always saying negative words to you, there's nothing positive of anything that comes out of their mouth before you end up when your spirit is broken and your spirit has not been fed. That's why the Word of God tells us we must put on the whole armor of God. Amen. So we'll know how to withstand the wiles, the attacks of the devil. Amen. This is a simple word, but when you get the revelation and live by it every day, it becomes something prophetic and something is a part of your life. It's like putting on the armor. It's like keeping it on, and you don't take it off for anything. So for that person, praise God, the word oppression, Hebrew word, it's a Hebrew word, mean obscure, O-S-H-E-Q, pronounced oshik, meaning oppression or extortion. Get your pens and write it down. Obtained from a person by force, by intimidation, illegal power. The Webster's Dictionary defined this as oppression as unjust cruelty. It could be on your job. It could be something that's promised to you, and you have people that try to put their foothold on your neck to keep you from receiving it. It could be the atmosphere that's set up in an environment in which you work, and there is a spirit of oppression. There's a spirit of a prejudiceness. There is a spirit of poverty in different areas. Something that comes to oppress you in a sense of being weighted down in your body, in your mind, that will cause you to eventually become so depressed. Thanks. I want you to hear what I'm saying, because it's a spirit of oppression. It can be a spirit of grief. And I always explain to people in conferences, there is what we call five stages of grief, and you can use that in any area of your life. There is the part where it's initially, number one, a person becomes shocked or in denial. And it just, what it means there, that something has happened, whether it's a death, bereavement, and you all look these words up. There's a difference when we interchange these words. Bereavement, grief, amen. Big difference, grieving. Those are three words in the same family under the same umbrella, which have a meaning that is quite differently. So look up those words as well. So when you look at the word grief, it's a spirit that could come over you, which is called the spirit of oppression. What do you mean? I'm so glad that you asked. Because grief, the five stages, one, denial, shock. A circumstance or situation could happen in your life that will overwhelm you, that will overtake you, that immediately can cause a panic attack in your life. It can be a crisis. It can be a stressor. But it can overwhelm you, that it will lock your jaw. It will cause you to be still and wondering what actually happened. So shock will keep you stuck, because it's the initial shock of hearing something that probably startled you more, would cause you to put up and praise and lift up your hands. I would say like that. So when you look at the word denial, we used to say, there's several definitions, so let me give you this one. Denial is a set of automatic and unconscious thoughts, feelings, urges, actions, and social reactions that defend, that's the word I want you to hear, defend against the pain, something you don't really want to hear, and the severity of knowing the truth. Why I'm saying this, because a lot of times things come to us, we don't want to believe it, we don't want to see it, we want to play with the devil, we want to even just panic it and compromise. That spirit will cause you to get into a place where you begin to say, it's okay, they'll come in at 12 o'clock. No, your children need to be in at a decent hour. Your children don't need to go out with your kids that's not saved. They don't need to be drinking. There are so many things that you can put in this area. But when I look at
this stage, I'll look at it in reference of death or a divorce or a separation or a broken relationship. It's something that will shock you. But also what I'm trying to get you to see is it's a spirit of oppression that can settle over you. And the second stage of this is called shock stage, and then there's denial, then there's come to bargain it, and then you start making all of these, what if I had done this? If I could have done this, they would have never had an accident. If I were more attentive in this area, they wouldn't have never left. What did I do to cause this divorce? What am I doing to call? You know, I praise God, I admire Chief and the family for being right there with Mother Johnson. See, because if they weren't there and something happened to Mother Johnson, that's when people start making bargaining. Lord, you should have taken me. Why didn't you take me? I don't know if you ever heard people do things like that. Well, if you've taken me, they can live. You don't have that choice. Next stage is anger. This is when people get angry with God. And this last stage is called acceptance. People never, it's very hard to get to this stage of acceptance on things. So I want you to see those stages of grief, you use them in every area of your life. But when you are not aware of what's going on, the enemy will bring the spirit of oppression upon you. It could be in a church or a church family. You see the numbers. You see members come. You see members go. You see people that are burdened. They saw them. They were happy. The next day, they're overwhelmed with burdens and oppression. I just want you to see it's just a little bitty things. Oppression would keep you from praising God. Oppression would keep you from lifting up your hands and saying, thank you, Jesus. Oppression is a spirit that comes from the devil. It's a spirit that comes to cause distractions. Distractions are challenges that surround you with everything that you are attempting to do. It will cause an interruption in your life. And I know you all are saying, I've heard these words before, but I want you to hear them again, because a lot of you are going to encounter some distractions this morning. You've already had some distractions. There's some distraction right now that could come to you right now, because I don't know what you hear from my end, but I hear something moving and weighing, but I will not allow it to distract me. This oppression comes as an opposition. It comes to the point where it calls you to get disappointed. Amen? It's our responsibility to come against that spirit. Amen? The purpose of oppression is to oppress you, to close you up, shut you down, kill your joy. Take what God has put in you. You are partakers this morning of his divine nature, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the living God, the glory and the lifter of our head, the anointing from Calvary lives in the inside of you. Glory to God. He's given all of us a weapon. So I hope that helped that individual that left me that text. Glory to God. Spirit of oppression will come to hinder you in your finances. Amen. It's a spirit. I know for a fact, so many people that I know receive a paycheck, and before they get paid, it seems like they're holes in their pocket. Spirit of oppression. So what the Bible tells us, to pay our tithes and our offering, that he would rebuke the devourer, and we wouldn't be walking around wandering in despair. Recognize what the enemy is doing. Amen. Psalms 84 said, no good thing when he withholds from them that walketh uprightly before him. He comes to oppress, to keep you from receiving your healing, your deliverance, your help, your strength. He will even slander your name that will cause you to become so weak in church or all around you that people would challenge your testimony. Glory to hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody in here have had their testimony, integrity, challenge, where you were afraid to stand up because people were looking at your past instead of looking how God had changed you. Glory to God. If you had someone by you right now and say, look at them right now, say, don't look at me where I am. Don't look at where I'm living. But what you see now is not all I'm going to be in the Lord. God will take that testimony and use it for his glory. Hallelujah. That would be a spirit of oppression when the enemy would try to come and oppress you. He will stop an opportunity for advancement and promotion on your job. They hinder you. Why am I sharing this? It's because I want to get to this other scripture I've been talking about, how the disciples couldn't cast out a demon. And I'm saying all of this and all the things that you're going through and have been going on through. Tell your neighbor, it's just a test. It's just a test. It's just a test, because the word reminds me over and over again. And I'm glad you asked me what. Thank you, Jesus. And he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. He didn't say play with them, compromise with them, have a discussion with them. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. What he tells you to do, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And what else shall you do? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on themselves, and they shall recover. I'm talking about the agents of change that on this line who is walking in destiny and purpose, who walk in leadership ability, who God has called to do a work for him in the kingdom of God. The Bible says there is a manifestation that's waiting for the saints of God. The world is waiting on a change, and they're waiting for you to speak it. They're waiting for you to see it. They're waiting for you to walk in that authority and the power that God has given you. This week I've been talking about leadership, glory to God. And let me pull out a few of the leaders. And when you become a leader, all of that that has oppressed you would push you to the point where you're saying, you know, I'm lifting up my hands to God. God, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to be a follower. I'm going to be a citizen. I'm going to join the team. I'm going to be a great team player, because what you have parted in me has made me stand up on front lines, thank you. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. You are on front lines to do front line battle. Glory to God. You marching in the army of God, and you stand coming in with your hands up with a banner, Jehovah testing you, saying, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. Glory to God. And I always say this. Every time I say yes to God, I'm saying no to the devil. I'm saying, devil, you don't get this. You don't have any part in this. Glory to God. Now, I said all of this as leaders. I'm saying all disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm saying all this because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has come. He's completed his work. I have already set up on this earth what I have given you to do. I have given you an assignment, glory to God. I'm going to have to go in a few seconds. He knew what was going on, but he did not know that Jesus was absent when he brought his son to the disciples. When he discovered that Jesus wasn't there, he sought the aid of the men that walked with him. They were unsuccessful in trying to cast out a devil. Now, we look at this on this line. You see Ambassador Pfeiffer. You see Ambassador Stern. You see all of the other ambassadors, Mr. Gene and Ambassador Hagen, when our chief is not present. They have walked with him. They have talked with him. He has given instruction. So immediately when he's not there, what do you see? You see the leaders in them. You see the call in them, stepping up in them, because they are not allowing anything to weigh them down. Now, I know a lot of you hear their voices, and you hear Dr. Johnson giving them accolades. He's doing that what a leader does. What is one of the characteristics of a leader? A leader will work themselves out of a position. The leader will sit and say, go ahead, I'm pushing you, glory to God. But sometimes the enemy will oppress someone else on the line and say, I don't want to hear Dr. Pfeiffer. I don't want to hear Dr. Stern. I don't want to hear Ambassador Hagen. I don't want to hear Ambassador Elect. That's a spirit. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus, because what's happening to you is that you are beginning to compare your gift with what God has put in them. Let me tell you, salvation is free. But the anointing of God will cost you something, glory to God. There was a price to pay for stepping up. Glory, 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 glory. Dr. Stern, there was a price you paid for stepping up. Glory, hallelujah. And all that you've done, going and in, rewarding you, glory to God, with an unmeasurable gift today, with an unmeasurable grace. We speak it over you right now. Unmeasurable grace. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. Dr. Pfeiffer, Ambassador Pfeiffer, had to pay a price for the anointing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have to pay a price to step up. So I bind the spirit of comparing. The Lord, I just want to be ready. You have to be just like a football team when they are squatting down and getting ready to get, and someone is kicking the ball. And I don't know about you, I have developed I'm in that position to stay at home so I can get to work a little late this morning. But I'm sitting here, I'm ready for that tackle. I'm ready. I woke up this morning. I'm ready, Lord, to do the will of you. That was a price that was paid. So I bind that spirit will try to hinder. So what the devil did, he came out and he possessed that young man's body. And I want you to look at this word. And the Bible said it possessed him with a dumb spirit. The word here, it said he had taken him, which says this spirit about him threw him into convulsion. Now, you have to go research the scripture. It said the spirit threw him in convulsion. And that word means K-A-T-A-M-B-A-N-O. It's katabakabano. And I'll have to come back another day, not tomorrow, and pronounce these words better, but I can spell them for you because I have the research on them. It's spelled K-A-T-A-K-A-M-B-A-N-O. It's used, and it means that spirit to lay hold of him so that one as one's own possession. That's what a dumb spirit, that's what a spirit would do. It will take hold of you. It will seize you. It will take in possession of you as if you belong to him. Lift up your hand and say, devil, you a lie. I break every yoke, every stronghold, every fetter in the name. In the name of Jesus, I don't belong to you. My children don't belong to you. I belong to God from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Experience these frightening seizures. So that's what that spirit done today. the man, when somebody knows, a family member, a friend knows that you are walking with God, you are a follower, you are a leader, you have accepted the charge, there is an expectation that is put in your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Put it in your hands. Ha! Glory.
Keep going, Ambassador. You look.
Oh, you can hear me. Praise God. There, and it goes on to say that, amen, what it happens when people see you everywhere and they're expecting from a.
Let me just say this. Let me cut you off just for a moment. Somebody, cut your alarm off. Whoever you are, cut your alarm off. All right? God bless you.
The manifestation of what you saw was seizures, convulsions, had racked that little boy's life, that threatened his life. Praise God. But what you saw, the position of a loved one, you saw the position of a father. The position of the father came frantic to the disciples who were powerless. But Jesus assured the father that his faith, that was declared would be rewarded. So right there in this text, you saw that there was an expectation of people that are around you when they come to you for prayer. They're not coming to you to gossip. When they come to you for prayer, for healing, they want you to lay hands on them. They want you to speak the word of God and you declare life, peace to their situation. And so Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "All faithless, faithless generation." And then I want you to look at this Greek word. While Jesus was talking to his disciples here, he assured, he included the scribes that was right there, the crowd that was looking. The crowd was included in this. The Greek word is apistos, A-P-I-S-T-O-S, which means without faith, unbelieving. The disciples were the ones who should have possessed the faith sufficiently and test out the demons because they walk with God. But they couldn't. Now I'm going to close, and I'm just going to give you some definitions because I know you all have to move forward. How long shall I suffer you? That was in the scripture. The verb used here is enoch. It means A-N-E-C-H-O. It means to hold oneself erect and firm against a person or thing. I'm holding you this. It projects that the idea to bear, to endure. Then he asked the boy, who was off a short distance from Satan, and brought him in. Now I'm asking you, how long shall I suffer you? How long is it you're going to walk with me? I'm holding you charged. I'm holding you accountable. You can't stand out for far off and say you a saint of God and can't cast out a devil. You shouldn't be able to live with a devil. I've seen so many pastors that cannot do the will of God in their ministries because of wives, because they don't understand the call and the pastor and the men of God has to pamper and pet their wives, and they have to deal with what they don't deal at home. They got to deal with it over the pulpit. I got to tell you all these things because of all this. I'm just saying, there are so many women of God who are married to men that cannot orchestrate and walk out in what God has called them to do because the relationship at home is not right. Amen. And I love to hear Chief Ambassador talk about his wife. I love to hear Ambassador Stern always talking about her husband, Pastor Gary, and the relationship and the call that they have, because two can't work together unless they agree. Amen. Let me give you another word. I'm going to go on. As he came to Jesus and he was put there before Jesus and he saw the tear, the word tear is a verb here in this text. It's fail, S-U-N-S-T-A-R-A-S-O-O. It means to convulse, completely. And then it says that convulsion where the boy began to wallow on the ground, meaning wallow to wail. He was all over the ground. And then as Jesus spoke the word, all he had to do was spoke, and it says in the text of Dunamis, he spoke power. He spoke over anything that was attacking the enemy. And let me tell you, when you're rebuking the devil, you got to find the spirit, find the strong man, because there's a lot of other spirits that comes along with it. Amen? And then you have to, if there's a jealous spirit, you got to bind everything else that comes with jealousy. Everything, saint, everything. He rebuked the foul spirit. The word rebuke is spelled E-P-I-T-I-M-A-O, which actually refers to he rebuked it, that we rebuked it so immediately. Somebody say immediately. The demon spirit came out. There was a change in the young man's attitude. When the word is used in the sense of a change in attitude, it is, well, this is what we call them. I'm giving you another word to look up. It's spelled E-L-E-G-C-H-O. It's used in a sense of change. There must be a change.